read in the Gospels, particularly in Matthew chapter 11, about the story about John the Baptist being in prison. John the Baptist is in prison because he has been preaching, and he pointed to Jesus as the Christ, the Messiah, the King. Now he's sitting in prison, knowing he will not walk out, and he's troubled. And he sends a couple of his disciples to Jesus with a message. In Matthew 11, 2-4, he asks, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" And Jesus replied to them, now follow this, "Go and report to John what you hear and see." There is a big misconception among people in the world. And you're going to be shocked yourselves, maybe, if you hear it from me. But there is a misconception that Christianity is based on the teachings of Jesus. That is not true. It is based on the person of Jesus, on who he is. Because if he is not who he said he was, his teachings are vain and pointless. But not just who he is, but who he showed himself to be by his actions. His actions told us who he is. And so when we hear the teachings of Jesus, they are always bolstered by actions. His teachings explain his actions. Let's look at an action of Jesus. John's Gospel, the 13th chapter. Before the Passover festival, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Now by the time of supper, the devil had already put into the heart of Judas, Simon Iscariot's son, to betray him. Jesus knew that the Father had given everything into his hands, and that he had come from God, and that he was going back to God. So he got up from supper, laid aside his robe, took a towel, and tied it around himself. Next, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and to dry them with the towel tied around him. He came to Simon Peter and said, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I'm doing, you don't understand now, but afterwards you will know."
"You will never wash my feet, never," Peter answered.
Jesus said, "If I don't wash you, you have no part with me."
"Oh! Well then, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head."
"One who has bathed," Jesus told him, "doesn't need to wash anything except his feet, but he is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." For Jesus knew who would betray him. That is why he said, "You are not all clean." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, open our eyes to Jesus' actions, in the actions in the upper room, which reflect his entire mission, which reflect the advent, the birth, and all that followed. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Okay, Sunday school class, finish the sentence. The greatest obstacle to knowledge of the Bible is knowledge of the Bible. How so?
"Oh, I've heard that story before. I don't really need to listen."
And we shut down. You've heard the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. Don't really need to pay much attention. We've heard it before. One of the hardest things to do, especially if you're one of these great Bible people who know it chapter, verse, index concordance, is to read a story like this for the first time, is to shut out from your mind all the stuff you've ever heard and hear it for the first time and let it bathe you one more time. I want you to hit on one statement in verse 4. What is the first thing Jesus did? He laid aside. He got up from supper and laid aside his robe. Now, the robe Jesus was wearing wasn't anything royal. Oh, we have these pictures. You've seen the pictures. Jesus is always wearing blue, right? Blue is an extremely expensive color. You paid a lot of money for anything blue in those days. Do you think Jesus wore anything blue? No, he was a pauper. He was penniless. He didn't wear anything blue. He wore dingy, off eggshell white, garbage-looking robe. But even that he laid aside. We read from the Apostle Paul that Jesus existed in the form of God, but did not consider equality with God as something to be used for his own advantage. I love how the New Revised Standard Version translates that. He did not regard equality with God as something to exploit. Ooh, man, I can chew on that one for days. His equality with God, which was real and which was always there, was not something he exploited for his own purposes. Instead, Paul writes, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a slave. And that is what the Christmas story is. It is the Son of God laying aside all heavenly prerogatives and taking on the form of a slave. What was Jesus doing here? Taking on the form of a slave. He was telling them the Christmas story. Who was Jesus? The angel said to Mary, he will be great and be called the Son of the Highest, the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He's a king. He never looked like one. And so Jesus himself, he said, if I, your master and your Lord, wash your feet, you must do it to each other. And Jesus lived out what he taught. In Luke 22:26, Jesus said, whoever is greatest among you must become like the youngest, and whoever leads like one serving. And what did Jesus do? Exactly what he taught. Hey, if someone tells you, do as I say, not as I do, don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. Jesus always exemplified what he taught. And brothers and sisters in Christ, followers of Jesus, what am I just about to tell you? We must exemplify what Jesus taught. Ouch. He laid aside every bit of dignity, but then he urges us to grow. He laid aside his own dignity and urged us to grow. Peter acts in astonishment. And Jesus says, what I'm doing you don't understand now, but afterward you will know. We may not understand. And I was telling the Sunday school class this morning, Jesus always surprises me. I read a chapter of the Gospels every day. I've been doing it for a few years now. I can't read a chapter without Jesus surprising me. I don't get it. You know, I asked the class this morning, the feeding of the 5,000 is in all four Gospels. It's the only miracle except the resurrection, which is in all four Gospels. Why? Why that one? What's the big deal? I don't know. But I want to find out, and Jesus invites us to grow. Jesus invites us to grow. It's like being a parent. I'm glad we have some young parents here. 7-week-old baby. How much is your child not going to understand? How much do your kids not understand? Boyd, how much do your kids not understand? I've got two grown boys, married. They don't get it. But neither do I. Jesus is always inviting us to grow. Does he look on our lack of understanding with any disdain? He didn't with Peter, did he? He looks at us and says, that's okay. That's okay. Follow me. We'll get there. Follow me. You don't get it. That's okay. You'll get it later. You'll understand later. Jesus can handle your ignorance. Ignorance is curable. Stupid is forever. But ignorance is curable. And you know what? We're ignorant, aren't we? And it's okay. He invites us to grow. He lays aside his own dignity. He invites us and urges us to grow. And he cleanses us. It is he who cleanses us. Jesus said, Peter, if I don't wash you, you have no part in me. If I don't wash you, you have no part in me. You can't be with me if I don't cleanse you. I got to say, let me ask you a question. You love Jesus? You love Jesus? Which would be harder for you? Would it be harder for you to have to wash Jesus' feet or to have him wash yours? I don't know if I could handle him washing mine, you know. I don't know if I could bear looking at Jesus and having him serve me. It doesn't work for me. It's not in the program. It's off the charts. And he tells us, you have to. You have to let me serve you, or you have no part in me. How many people want to do something in order to gain God's favor? In order to, God, I'll do, if you'll forgive me, I'll do this. You know, guys in the foxhole, God, if you get me out of here, I'll serve you. That's right, like I can do something for God. Like the creator of the universe really needs my help. Why does he cleanse us then? Because he loves us. Just out of pure here, grace, gift, because I love you. Will you receive that love? Will you just receive what I'm offering you? It's a gift. If I don't do it, nobody gets to do it. Nobody else can. Peter is the guy who had said earlier in John chapter 6, Lord, to whom shall we go? Jesus says, are you going away? Well, to who? Who's going to cleanse me if you don't? Who's going to do it if you don't? Jesus laid aside everything that he had, everything that he was, put it aside without ever really losing it. He urges us to grow, loving us through our ignorance, knowing that we are dust. He cleanses us, takes our sins, but he finishes his work. Peter, I got a whole lot in common with Peter because I think Peter makes a lot of sense. Jesus says, you will have a part with me if I wash your feet. I have a part with you if you wash my feet. Well, then wash everything. I want more. And do we want more because we think we'll get more of Jesus? Because we think we'll somehow earn that favor? Do I have more of God's favor because I'm your pastor? Absolutely, positively not. I'm one with all of you. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I just happen to have one. Peter wanted more. You know, I think Peter's heart was in the right place. Whatever you're giving me, Jesus, I want more of it. But we can't improve on the work he has done, because what did he say on the cross? It is finished. Jesus finished the work. I love what the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. This man, Jesus, after offering one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. You go to work. I work at a factory. I work third shift. I come home at the end of the day, actually at the end of the night. My feet hurt. My hands hurt. And I just want to sit down. Actually, in my case, probably lie down. What did Jesus do when he finished his work? He sat down. I'm done for the day. I've clocked out. I finished everything the Father gave me to do. Believe that Jesus has done the whole job. That by coming as a baby and by living the life that he lived, he provided cleansing, he provides eternal life. That's my Jesus, the one who, and you know, we recited the Nicene Creed, and I believe wholeheartedly we need to keep our minds focused sometimes on the simple things that we believe. But it misses a lot. It misses a lot. Born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate. What? Hey, wait a minute. What about all that stuff in the middle? He gave his life for us, not just on the cross, but in 33 years of sinless living. And that's what he offers to us, his life, the life he has. And that's what he offers to you, if you will but receive it.